11. Then we shall go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 27. And I will begin reading at verse 17. Verse 11, Psalm 94. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow him. Who will rise up for me against the evildoer? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut off them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. I'd like to repeat the 17th verse. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Jeremiah, chapter 37. I'd like to begin at the 16th verse. Notice the reading of the word of the Lord. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabin, and Jeremiah remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house, and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. What I wanted you to notice is the words of a king talking to a man that had been shut in a dark dungeon alone. And he asked him secretly a question. Is there any word from the Lord? And with that, and the statement of David, my soul had almost dwelt in silence, I want to talk to you for a little while about the world of silence. The world of silence. Shall we pray? Our righteous God, our glorious God, our wonderful God, our matchless Savior, our King, we love you. Let your word be a blessing to us today. Let us feel the anointing spirit of the Lord as we speak to your church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You may be seated. I have often wondered about the silent world. We have a class in our church for the deaf that cannot hear. Now watch the expression on a face that lives in a silent world. They do not hear the beauty of the notes of the instrument. Regardless how beautiful a song is sang, and we've heard some beautiful singing today, all they know is what is transmitted through a silent language, a language by the hand. And I wondered what it would be like to be in that world. Never to hear a baby cry. Never to hear the song of a bird in the springtime. Never to hear the words of my children saying, "Dad, I love you." I could step to the phone, call my home, and I could hear the voice of a little woman that's been my wife and the mother of my children. And just to hear that voice on the other end of that line has an effect on me. But the silent world never hears that. Never. Beauty is not only seen, but beauty is heard. I never have tried it. Hope I don't have to. But they tell me that if you can't smell, you couldn't taste. I don't think that things would be nearly so beautiful if I couldn't, even though I see. I watched a mother one night after church, blind, couldn't see, and had three little children. And as so many Pentecostals do, kids go to sleep on the front seat. And there happened to be several little fellows up close to the front that their little heads were slumped over on the front seat. They were asleep. But I watched this blind mother walk up. And as she walked to where that front seat was, and she felt her way, she took her hand felt that one little forehead pass to the next one. Then a moment she firmly took that one by the shirt. Wake up. Wake up. She was seeing. I can understand how that the feel of my hand can reveal things to me that I couldn't speak. But in the solid world, feeling does not put into you the beauty of that knowledge. I hear a lot of people say that they saw a person that couldn't hear heal, that had never heard before. Now, I don't want to transgress you. I don't want to disturb you. But I'm going to tell you what I think. And if you don't like it, throw it out the window. But when you are in a healing service and a deaf mute is healed instantly, you won't have to snap your fingers in his ear to see if he can hear. Neither would you have to take a watch and put it up to his ear. Not if he has never heard before and he's in a Pentecostal church. I've only seen it happen one time in my life, and it was in a youth camp in the District of Arkansas, and it happened to a little girl 13 years old, and she could not hear. Only thing she could do was talk with her hands. One night when the service was over and the altar was full, and here was the orchestra playing, and there was the music going, somebody at the microphone singing, I felt a girl come on my coat. And I turned, and there was about a 16-year-old. She said, "Brother Foss, this is my sister, 13. Nothing that I've done, because she revealed to me why that it was God's time. He said, I fasted and prayed 3 days before this youth camp started. God would give her her hearing. And I feel like that this is God's time." Now, I'm talking to you about the words of a child talking to me. That little girl was unmoved. Just, she can see everything, but nothing was getting through that world of silence to her. And I turned to the superintendent, which at that time was Brother Cannon. I said, "Brother Cannon, this girl needs prayer." I didn't even elaborate as to what was wrong with her. You know, we hurriedly sometimes pray over those things. You can call it what you will, but probably it's the lack of faith. No virtue in the all. Obedience. I'm going to preach to you in a little bit, but I want to talk to you a little while. See, you're not going to eat till 4 o'clock. You better hope you get to eat then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we anointed it with oil and just a little simple, short prayer. But that teenager, 16 years old, was standing there. Tears running down her face.
my back on it. Prayed for them, what they asked. Brother Cam started talking to somebody else. That 16-year-old that had paid the price, that had the burden, that was in touch with another silent world, stood there waiting. And all of a sudden, I heard a noise, and I saw the little 13-year-old girl start to run, and her sister grabbed her. And she put her hands to her ears. And she was wild in her eyes because she had suddenly come out of a silent world. God had unstopped those ears. She did not understand what was happening. But the next night she walked up to me and said, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" And she was becoming oriented to a world of sound and had come out of a world of silence. All that God would not know that He is not always in the noise and in the things that are around us, but God dwells in a world of silence many times. You see, we got a... Maybe I shouldn't phrase it that way. There have been things that have moved across the Pentecostal church. Almost made you feel that if you didn't run the aisles, or if you didn't jump the benches, or if you didn't have, and I, here again, I don't want to transgress you, but if you didn't have rock and roll music in the church, that things were dead. That's good. Hear me? That's good. Hear me? And I've seen that move across the fellowship that I love with my heart, that I love with my soul. But God is not always manifested in His depth and fullness, in the sound of the noise. But at times we must move over into the silent world. And He begins to speak to us in a voice that nobody else hears. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Reading out of the Reader's Digest recently, I was called to Veterans Hospital. We are working on the library in our church. They were building a new one, and so they were disposing all of their books, and we went out and bought all $100 worth of books from them, and they found out it was from a church, and they called me about a week later and said, "Reverend," said, you need any more books?" I said, "Well, yes, I need some more books." They said, "Well, they're going to move this building or tear it down, and we've got to dispose of these books immediately. And if you want them, there's about 800 here. And we'll let you have them for $100. I said, "Okay, I'll be out to get them up." But to my horror, and beyond the wildest imagination, I got there, and they brought out 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 books, and said, "If you take one, you take them all." So I've got books, Brother Young. You need the books? every nook and cranny in our church, every vacant room was stacked to the brim with books. And I got to going through them, and there's a lot of the Reader's Digest condensed books. And I was able to put together a set from the first condensed book all the way to the current condensed book. And, you know, I was proud of it, so I did the prowling around and all that stuff sometimes. And I got to reading about sound and noise and silence. And they tell me that there is an audible spectrum, and science has built a criteria by which they can measure this sound. It resembles a keyboard. And through this particular instrument, they can determine what you can hear and what you can see by vibrations. I thought I was hard hearing, I still believe I am. Because I hate to look at somebody and say, pardon? That's your boss, what you say? Judith walked up on a flat not long ago, and she was asking me, did I want anything from the bar? And I didn't hear what she said. I said, yes, ma'am, that'll be fine. You know, I was just trying to second guess her, but that's what she was saying to me, and I wasn't hearing her. So I went to ear, eye, and nose specialist in Houston, and he put me in a little room and began turning on all of these sounds, and when I could hear, I punched the button, and when I could understand, I was punching buttons, and I was just going, and in a little while, he said, you're not hard of hearing. I said, well, there's something wrong. But they tell me that the vibrations that I can hear run from a grade of 16 to 20,000 vibrations per second. And they also said that a piano goes up to a point just below what is audible to me and distinguishable. And the lowest note is close to the end of what I cannot hear. What cannot be distinguished in my hearing. Well, that sounded interesting. I thought, well, 16 vibrations up to 20,000 vibrations a second. I'm a pretty intelligent creature. They tell me that I can understand anything in between that. But over the 20,000 is silence. And then a man that deals in sound, an acoustician, came and said they're grading it down to a grade 5 in a room, a perfect room, that you would not be able to hear any sound, and when you walked in, your own heartbeat would sound like the sound of a bass drum. Just thump, thump. He was talking about a world of silence. Really, in a silent theater. So when we start to think about complete silence, does God really dwell in silence? Does he do anything that's quiet? Does he act in any measure that's not right across the heavens? Oh God, help this church to understand that you do not need a banner out over your door and say divine healing night. That's right. Hallelujah. God doesn't always dwell in the flamboyant and the glamour that men are trying to feed our heart and our soul on today. Hallelujah! 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 If we could understand that great things happen in those quiet moments with God, as well as those moments when the joy is flowing like a river, and men dance in the Spirit. Honey, we've got a church that will run wild on you. But there comes a time that you need to settle down and shut your mouth and get your thoughts together and get still enough and quiet enough and wait long enough that God can talk to your heart. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, because of false. If it's not in a moment, if it's not in a moment when everything is at a pitch of ecstasy and we have reached that point, honey, I'm talking about a message that you don't have to work up. You don't have to appeal to it. It's there. He was there all the time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happens in silence? This article in Reader's Digest opened my understanding to so much. Said that you ever go out in the late spring and look on the blade of a grass, the blade of grass, and see the droplet of dew is there. Put it under a microscope, and it shows you every color and every hue of a rainbow, and beauty that challenges the talent of the artist's brush. One drop of dew, but it was there with no noise in a world of silence. Hallelujah. No. Our coast has escaped these hurricanes. We had one come in just about 150 miles east of us this morning. I was worried about it. 8-foot tides ahead of it hit the Louisiana coast today. Last week we had Anita. She went in down in Mexico with 155-mile winds. And they're bad, and they're extremely bad. And had this one come into our city, I probably wouldn't have been here today because I needed to be there to see about some things in that church and what's going on and the people that would probably need help with the things that go with a hurricane. But there's some other things that go with it. Everything is not in the flash of lightning, and it's not in the roll of thunder. And it's not in the howl of the shaking wind that blows through the storm shutters. When that storm was just 100 miles off of our coast, our sky was still blue and the sun was still shining. Out of the southwest rose the clouds up from the offspring of that huge whirling storm. That evening, my wife and I was driving, and we looked straight ahead. The sun had set, and it was a big golden ball of fire. And it had gotten down below the cloud line. And the clouds that were enshrouded in the sky above it, their dark-looking color, around the edges was a flaming golden outline as though it was encased in golden lace. But yet, not one sound took place. in the beauty of God. And that sun set.
Today, when the sun come up over the east, it did not make enough noise to awaken the lightest sleeper. Sir, I'm telling you, there's power in a world of silence if you can get in tune with the things that God wants you to
know. And the things that God wants you to know. Where does he dwell? In the sound of the cymbal? Yes. In the beat of the drum? Yes. Also, sir, he dwells in the world of silence that men do not know too much about. It's not hard for us to come and feel the move and the swing of that music and the word of that song and forget and become excited about what's happening in the church. But oh, when you can come to the house of God and nobody's there. And listen to God talk the language that only your heart can understand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Of the greatest, most glorious organism God has ever placed in the world.
World
of God, from the back of God is
power.
With the Spirit of God moves in the world.
I have a man in my church that is a pagan contract. I was talking to him about a driveway in our new home. He said, Brother Foster, he said,
I had poisoned the ground where you're going to put this driveway. I said, no, sir.
He said, why would I poison?
He said, did you know that grass species that's below that you never know it's there until suddenly it's
and parted the weight. Many times its weight comes through that asphalt jungle and sticks its fingers toward heaven. What am I telling you, sir? They tell me that beneath the slab, the concrete slab in our country, that you must poison the roots of those trees because there is enough power in that silent growth to break the thickest slab that you could pour on it. They say there's enough power in the expansion of a grain of wheat to burst the blossom plant. If you can get the fertilization to make it swell and make it break, I'm telling you, sir, there is power in the world of silence.
I wonder, have we missed God
because we look for him in the wrong place? We search for him in the wrong atmosphere.
You see, God has never talked to me often.
The only thing that I've ever heard from God has been that spirit of confession that talks to my heart when I am silent enough.
This is where it's all happening. This is where the glory is. The power is
the problems arise in my church and they do it, everybody. Don't let anybody fool you. There's no church person. No, not even this one can get in the door. I'm confident. I just know it. Amen. Amen. First day of prayer. Really not perfect right now because I'm not perfect. And I'm here. So here you are.
Oh, hallelujah.
Be thou first of the Lord. I will handle that peace immediately. Honey, if you get off and wait, listen. God will talk to you and give you answers that you did not know existed.
All that God would give to me the ministry of this church today. And allow to get to a place that we can call out our feelings and the what we think and listen to the voice of God. Listen.
Oh, that God would put us in a world down below grave time. Well, we can hear the voice of our own
family.
The most elusive thing,
and
I know that I'm preaching probably a different style than you expected, boys. But the most elusive thing that I have found in my walk with God has been knowing that what He did in the divine will of God and what He did in the divine will of God and what
we have an element around today that you turn God showed me this and God showed me that, that you use it so recklessly until I have almost kicked it out of hand. But when God shows me it that way, it's just exactly that way, and it's no other way. Others say he's talking about the will of God, but the children are going to the God and all the time. Here I am on my face, praying, moaning, groaning, crying, weeping. Oh God, show me the will of God, show me the will of God.
Now worship the Lord with the praise of the Lord.
Of the will of God, beyond doubt. I wonder if it's because we're Christian. The room of our church is around the platform. I had a visiting minister come. Said he wanted to look at the church. I said, well, help yourself. I'll be out in a little bit. I'm busy. And he was looking around. He went into the prayer room. After a while, I went out, and he was back. Moved to our city for a while, and they're attending our church now. He come up to me the other day, serving his Thursday night, asking his prayer, the first of the quarter. He went in Thursday night. He come up to me Thursday night, and he's going to fall. I don't know whether it's me or what it is, but he said, every time I step into this prayer room, I feel like I've stepped into the Holy Spirit. He didn't know it, but he was talking to me. You see, there is a place that you can get. And we want to hear it. Just don't think that it's the Lord. In the time of the storm, all right, we try to drown out the lasting wind. Try to drown out the deepening roar of the thunder. We try to put it out in front. The force of the wind. And through it all, we try to listen. And we go almost frantic, looking for God and His will. Scripture teaches us there's going to be a shaking. So do those things which cannot be taken, not in vain. But in the midst of that shaking, you know, some people judge God by what they see. You're in a storm, Brother Smith. That tells me that something's wrong with you. God, just like Job, come to Job. What's the matter with you, son? What's the matter with you? It's not like God to let and he sits there with a silent lip.
In the midst of the shaking, in the midst of the earthquake, the world seemingly falling around us, we try to rise above it all. And in comes the consuming fire that would burn everything. And we look at it and it blisters and wonders, God, where are you?
God gave us perfect example of the word of God. A man prayed, built an altar, knew the prophets of Baal. What God answered by fire? Nobody loved to see the Lord reach down and lift up the one that was running off from the altar. He knew what it was to pray. And the seventh time to come and tell him to the cloud. Like a man turned up his Lord and said, look, out from him.
But the next day, somebody said, Elijah, Jezebel told me to tell you that as it's been with them, so will it be with you by this time tomorrow. And all of a sudden, the rain didn't mean anything. The fire didn't mean anything. He got up his loins and ran as hard as he could run, as far as he could go, and stepped down under a juniper tree. What in the world has gone wrong? I'm the only one left here, and I just let me die. I'm no better than my father. Let me die. So all his
business out of season is proven to you. No, there's nothing wrong. Get a picture. Honey, don't look for him. He is going to bring you out of the storm. Hallelujah. While he was there asleep, the Lord told the angel, you're up. Lord, thank you. Take him. That angel went, take him and take him. Got a glass of water. You're a
preacher. You're the work of the ministry. Take God.
Oh, my Lord, I've been so far, I can't hurt it. Eat it. Something in that steak. Something in that water. And you get it done in 4 days. Did it? 40 days, huh? Feed it. No, he feed it and he jumped up and got it there. He ran until he found the cave in the mountain. Got over the cave and had himself there. What the hell? I said, I know what you're doing here. That I'm the only one left. I'm no better than the rest of them. And they tried to kill me and they killed all the prophets. There's nobody else cares. And I'm not any better than my father. Why don't you just let me die? Honey, don't censure him because we get in the same shape. We get twisted all out of shape. When we're in the fight, the devil and things are not right, and we begin looking for a way to hear from God. And God said, Elijah! Somebody, the Lord's going to do something tonight. We're going to have a special service tonight. They get all fixed and put on their camp rags and shine their shoes and put on their hair and rest. Over Elijah left his eyes and walked to the front of that cave. And honey, when he walked up there and stood for a moment, he heard a roar. That's bound to be God. That's bound to be God. And honey, it was a stormy wind blowing so strong. Strongest wind I've ever been in was 135 miles an hour. And it was a straight wind blowing against the house in a tropical hurricane. And I could hear the nails in that house. Yeah, I didn't say God's in that. Did you hear me? This is the way that we look at things. But the Bible says that wind. The mountain, it was so powerful. When it did it, down, it said it broke the rock. And if we were to caught in that, we would have to say that God is surely in this place, and Elijah watched it go by. Bouncing, splitting forth. Broke the rocks into pieces.
What he stood there, that old word began to roll in that ground under him. And the little hill of rock under his head of his face. And it was going this way. Earthquake. God is good. In the earth. Yes.
He wasn't.
And then finally, he looked in a ball of fire. And that fire came through there burning. That must be God! But when the fire left, the world was silent. I just
heard what the Bible calls small fires. The answer to some of you that have been in the storm, to some of you that the rocks have blown the gift of your life, to some of you that your world has fell around you, you've looked for God, but are you looking in the wrong place? Move over into the world of silence, because when Elijah stood there, the Lord said, Elijah. Ready to bow. I want you to get out of here and go over there. This is going to be all right. The wind didn't do it. The earthquake didn't do it.
His face! He called out of a loud silence! The best that he needed.
I'm telling you, sir, that God has got a message for this church. If we can stop long enough
and listen, we can hear
the voice of God talk to us and tell us this is what I want you to know.
All of you.
Look, I know what the priest to get you out of these aisles and have you up dancing. But oh God, help our ministers not to be in a showcase and do things just to get men out of the aisle. I want somebody to set me down and preach to me to where I can get back with God and listen to the voice of the Lord while He speaks to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, if we could come to grips with the idea that God speaks to men when they're alone, that God speaks when we will let Him speak, then we'll begin to hear like we've never heard before. Now then, let's look at another world of silence. While he's speaking, you ever heard him kind of call you close? Get over here close to me. Then the scripture says, you'll draw nigh him. He'll draw nigh unto you. And oh, my friend, it means something for God to put His arm around you. When you feel the undergird of that spiritual arm, He doesn't have to say a word. It just seems to draw you up close. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thing that disturbs me so much. And hear me what I'm saying here. I look at our church, I look at our conventions, I look at the cat meetings that I go to. While God is speaking to men, while God is powerfully moving, there sits some that never touch. Never touch. No matter what kind of a message they heard, they still haven't heard. Here, I'm talking about another world of silence. Allow them to God God speak. You can't hear Him because you're in a world of silence. Away from the voice of God cannot penetrate the place that you dwell. Church, I'm not here to ridicule. I want to talk to you though. How is it that the power of God can be so strong, but in 15 minutes we can drown it with a talk and a hamburger, and we don't think anymore about it? Did you really hear the voice of God, or did you see the rocks break? Oh, I'm talking about a world of silence that God can speak to men that they can hear, but the man sitting next to you never hear the word that God has prayed. Why is it? Oh, well, Brother Smith, you needed it. Brother MacFarlane didn't need it. Honey, I felt that power so strong when it made me want to crawl under the altar. Then I've listened to men ridicule the message of the street. I've heard men just drag it in the church. I've heard men walk out of a conference and walk out of a camp meeting and ridicule the man that stood there and tried to deliver his heart. Oh, that God would help us to come out of a silent world where God cannot penetrate. You can go through the motions, my friend. You can dwell in church. You can play the part, but never hear from God. Oh, I don't believe that, you know. I've often wanted. My old dad used to be one of the greatest Bible teachers I ever heard. Charged on the tabernacle and
He would teach that chart and make me so hungry. I would sit there just as a kid and just and looking at it. Looking at it. No wonder Balaam said, how beautiful are the kings of the. He had it all from our sister. Young father drew it all for my dad. And those charts still lie in a different place. Daddy's old now, and he can't use them anymore. And somebody said, why don't you get them and teach off of them, Brother Foss? Because as long as he lives, I feel like that's a little bit of sacred ground. Oh, but me. It's me. It's me. I looked at him and saw the brazen master. Saw the brazen altar. I walked into the sanctuary that was the temple. There was altar of incense. There was the light of the golden candlestick. I can remember him today, how that he illustrated the ministry from the light of the golden candlestick. Oh, I thought, what a wonder it would be to go into a place like that. There is a possibility, my friend, that you can come by the altar. You can come by the way of the brazen laver. You can eat at the table of the shewbread. You can walk over to the altar of incense. You can walk into where the candlesticks are and still not hear the voice of God. We got people that enjoy everything that can be had in the Pentecostal church. But it's been months and months since they really felt and heard the voice of God speak to their hearts and their souls. All the time the shepherd prays, motivate them, motivate them, motivate them. Let me have something to motivate them. Honey, you need to be praying. God, break the world of silence. They're in a world where they cannot hear. And somehow, let them hear you. I don't believe that, brother. Yeah, you do. A man longs to hear. I want to. Knew what was to me. Can I say this to you? Just let me say it. Do not feel bad. Problems that exist today in most areas, not coming from young converts, it's coming from people so bad. Father, you're my elder. You're my piloting officer. I'm not a boy. I'll listen. I'll listen. But we get to the place that we feel like that we and that we are able to put forth the will of God for everybody else. Sir, you need to see of the Lord.
Pitiful to hear from God. Pitiful to feel the tug and the move and the motion of the Spirit. It's pitiful to know all of it and get to the place where nothing is trapped. Or it was such a glorious man. But incense on the altar, and yet that stayed there all night, walking in the light of the day. Finally, out of a shack of heart, crying. Don't
wait! I've got to hear from God. Honey, that's what will happen to you.
Don't Samuel said, from that six foot to her seance. Saul was there. He said, I want to hear from God. Samuel said, Saul, why have you allowed me? Why have you despised my rest? Samuel, God has departed from me and heareth me no more. What was he saying? God has put me in a world of silence, and I cannot hear from the Lord anymore. Honey, if it's been a long time since God touched your heart, you need to get somewhere today and get a hold of the horns of the altar and say, until God touches you once again. Such a pity that men get into the place God will not speak to them again. What a world of silence. Power in the world of silence. They're in a place that I can get and God can talk to me. But they're in a place that God can put me that I can hear you more. Shut me away. Shut me away. One night, service, powerful service, I watched a man rebel against God. I have watched him reject the love of God. I've seen his suffering twice, holding on to his suffering first place. That cometh of a beast. The males, they shall be the Lord's. I want you to listen to that. That everything, man or beast, everything that openeth the matrix, the males, they shall be the Lord's. There was something special about it to God. Listen to it. With me just a little bit, and I'm going to give you a reason for separation. I'm going to give you a reason for holiness. I'm going to give you a reason for staying true to the all-purchasing banner of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. And then you can go on over to the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, and you will discover there about the 19th verse that he tells us essentially the same thing. All that openeth the matrix. It belongs to me, said the Lord. It is mine.
Everyone.
Cattle or beast. That is male. All the men, they belong to me. They are mine. They are mine. They are the firstborn. They are chosen. They are the elect. They are the elect of God.
They belong to me. They're mine.
God said you can't have them. Oh, let me tell you something. Even if they had an ass, they had to redeem it. If they did not redeem it, they had to break their neck
because God said it's mine. Right.
Hallelujah. God said it's mine. I'll tell you why this church is peculiar. I'll tell you why this church is special. Because it belongs to God. Believe it belongs to God. I'll tell you something. The Apostle Paul said you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and you are not your own.
Oh, hallelujah.
You
It belongs to me. It belongs to me. It's mine. Now listen, you'll discover that God allowed the firstborn. Later on, God said you can redeem the firstborn. So let's kill him. You don't have to kill him. You can redeem him. But friend, listen, as time went on, as the events of the developing of Israel began to change, the scene changed just a little bit. It's got to be different because it belongs to me. Things changed after a while. The day came, and you can find it in the 8th chapter of the book of Numbers. One day God told Moses to bring all of the children of Israel out into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And you bring all of the sons of Levi and set them apart, separate them at the door of the congregation of Israel. Now listen to what he did. He had all of the young men, come out, and they would lay their hands upon the heads of the sons of Levi. And then the sons of Levi would lay their hands upon the sacrifice. And Aaron offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And all of a sudden something changed. God changed the whole picture. He changed the whole scene because the Levites became the separated people. And God took them out and he said, now I want you to separate the Levites. You see what he's doing? There is a sudden transition. There's a sudden change. It's no longer the firstborn sons that we've got to separate. God said, never mind anything. Hallelujah. But this time, we're going to do something a little different. And he sanctified and he set apart the sons of Levi. And something happened along with this. I'll tell you what it was. We can read it in the 15th and 16th verse of the chapter. Praise the Lord. After that, and they're going to be they're going to do the service of the tabernacle, and God said they are holy unto me. That's what he said of the firstborn. They are holy unto me. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. Come on, say it with me. They're mine.
They're mine.
Say it again. They're mine. They belong to me. That's what God said. All right, read.
Everyone that opened the womb, even of the firstborn, of the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me?
Have I taken them unto me? But you see, God said, now we're going to change the thing just a little bit. I have a church. Now I have a building. I have a tabernacle. And now we're going to change it a little bit. You separate the sons of Levi. And now we're going to change it. Now the eldest son lost his place of being the priest of the family. God brought about a transition. And thereby he made the sons of Levi to minister in his tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
How many of you are with me so far? Dear God. Hallelujah. I don't want you to leave me right now. Dear God, we got a long way to go. And somewhere tonight, by the grace of God, we're going to bring it all together and point to tonight to the greatest church that has ever been in the world, that ever will be in the world, the called out body of Jesus' name, believers. They are the set apart for God tonight.
Hallelujah. All right, let me point your attention to some important things tonight.
in John the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. Jesus had just finished talking to Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, except the man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. He went on to tell him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, it is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. I want you to understand something tonight, that you are first a fleshly being. You are first a carnal being. You are first a being that is born of the flesh. The first part of you is flesh. Oh, hallelujah. And secondly, you are a spiritual being. Now, I want you to remember something, that back in Israel, it was the redeemed. It was the redeemed that became spiritual to God.
Hallelujah.
It was that part that was redeemed that was spiritual to God. All right? So what is he telling us? I'll tell you what he's telling us. That first, after the flesh, simply means that there has to be, there must be a redeemer, and there must be a redemption price. Oh, hallelujah. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you've got to be born again of the water and the Spirit, because I've come to establish the church, and my church is going to be firstborn. My church is not going to be born of flesh, but it's going to be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. How many of you are in that part of the bride?
When you look at the divine plan of God, praise the Lord, in His creation, you can go back to the creation and you can discover some interesting things. The Bible tells us that God said, let us make man after our own likeness and in our image. In our image and after our likeness. Praise the Lord.
But when the scripture comes down to describing the creation, he just simply said that God created him in his likeness and said nothing about the image of God. When God got down to making him, he only made him in his likeness. Didn't say a thing about his likeness and in his image. Praise the Lord. God created him.
Now listen, when you create something, you create it according to a plan, up to a design. No man sets out to make anything without first he has a design. Praise the Lord. He has a master plan. And once he has the plan, once he has the design, then he sets about to make the object according to his design or to his plan. Oh, hallelujah. Now, listen, God intends. I believe that it is the intent of God in the full scope of his creation and of his making of man in his likeness and in his image. It is the intent of God that man will be made in the likeness and in the image of God. I believe God does intend for man to be made just exactly like he is. Oh, hallelujah. Eternal, to live forever.
Praise God. You may not believe it, but friend, I'll tell you something. The church that I'm a part of is going to live forever. It's not going to die. It's not going to go under. It's not going to sink in the pit of despair and hopelessness. But the church that I am a part of, brother, it's going to rise to meet the Lord in the air.
That was the
master
design. God created it. God designed it. God intends for you and I to be like him in the sense that we do not do wrong. And that we will live forever. But you see, when God brought Adam on the scene, and God made him, evidently God did not make him after his image and his likeness, because Adam had the ability to sin. He had the ability to die.
And friend, listen, that is not the master design and the master plan of God. He created this body. He created it and placed it in the plan and the program of God that it shall live forever and never die.
So it's evident that we are not there yet.
Hallelujah. I said it's evident, but we are not there yet.
Praise God. Would you stay with just a little bit? We're going to get there before it's over with. Hallelujah to God. Adam comes along. He begins to produce sons. And the Bible tells us that the sons that Adam produced were just exactly like him. They were in his likeness and they were in his image. That simply means that the sons of Adam had the ability to sin and they did. They had the ability to die and they did. But listen, in the plan of God, it was not so. In the eternal scope of God's program, it will not be so. But there will be a day when God will redeem us back to Christ by the power of his blood. And we're going to live forever. We're going to live forever. We're going to live forever.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Right.
Oh, God in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Hallelujah. You know what he was telling him? He was saying, Nicodemus, this time, you've got to be born in the image and the likeness of God. The second time, you've got to be born in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty. And the Apostle Paul said that as we are born the image of the earthly, so also shall we bear an image of the heavenly. Oh, hallelujah. That's why Paul said, beloved, now we do, it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. 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 For we shall see him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why the writer of old said, oh, of the days of my life, I'm going to wait for one thing, and that's for my change. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to be like him. 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 I'm going to live. I'm going to live and never die.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You got to remember some things. That death reigned from Adam until Moses. That's what the Bible said. Death reigned from Adam until Moses. Even though the law was not in the world. The law was not in the world. But you see, when the law came, something happened. Sin revived. Sin revived because the law said, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. That was the very same thing God said to Adam. Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And praise the Lord. Friend, listen. From the days of Adam until Moses, death reigned, even though there was no law. But you see, when the law came, and the law said, thou shalt not, something happened. Sin became knowledgeable. Praise the Lord. It became knowledgeable. But you see, in reality, it was there all the time. It never died. It never passed away. It was there all the time. And death reigned. It reigned. It had power. It had power. It had power.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The law made sin come from the Father and appear to be sin. That's exactly what it did. It made it come out of our hiding place and made it appear to be sin. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible said that the law then became a schoolmaster to bring us where? To bring us where? Come on, wake up and join me. To bring us where? The law became a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Why did it do that? I'll tell you why. Because it was in the design and in the plan of God that man should be like him and made in his image and made in his likeness. Oh, foundation of the world. That's why the Bible said that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He didn't die at the very beginning. Only in the mind of God. In the master divine. Hallelujah. 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 In the master divine. He was slain from the foundation of the world. And so Romans the 10th chapter said, now Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. To everyone that believes. Right. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is simply saying, if you believe me, I am the end of the law for righteousness. If you believe me, I am the end of the law for righteousness' sake. Praise the Lord. But you see what the law couldn't give you, and what the law couldn't do for you, Jesus said, with my blood, I'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the law is a debt. Praise God, but grace. Oh, hallelujah. Grace. Jesus said, I'm not coming with the law. I'm coming as a grace. And grace will give you what the law has given to you. Grace will do for you what the law could never do for you. The only thing that the law could do was make sin appear to be sin in your life. But friend, Jesus said, I've got something to give with you. My peace I leave, my peace I give. Not as the world giveth. Not as the world giveth. The law is a debt. But the Bible tells us that the law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. It came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Hallelujah. I am what? That I am the end of law for righteousness to every one of you that believe. And except you believe that, you will die in your sins. Hallelujah. Isn't that what He said? Oh, hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said, that which is born of flesh, it is flesh and carnal. Hallelujah. It's not in the likeness of God, in the image of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I'm using this as a type. I realize that. Praise the Lord. The firstborn. They were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing could bring a curse upon them except something they didn't do. Hallelujah. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord said, when the death angel passes through, if I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Yes, right.
And there was nothing that could bring a curse upon them or could change what God said unless they failed to do what the Lord told them to do. Nothing could bring a curse. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing could change that. Nothing could alter that. Praise the Lord. Why? Because of a Lamb that was slain. Praise God. A Lamb gave His life, and the blood caused the death angel to pass over them. Praise the Lord. Later God said, let them be redeemed with silver. And then He transferred the firstborn right over to the sons of Levi. And He said, now you are my firstborn. You are my firstborn. You are my firstborn. And the Levites became the priest. Not only that, but it was their responsibility to work in the sanctuary. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies. And the priest worked in the sanctuary of the holy place, if you please. Now, I want you to remember something, that there was no man who was allowed to go into that holy place unless the high priest first went in and came out again. Hallelujah. And then after he comes out, the priests are allowed to go in and do the ministry
into the sanctuary. Now look at this as this. We talk about the Holy of Holies, and you've all heard this before, and we typify it as being a significant of heaven. We look at the holy place of the sanctuary, if you please, and we say this is a type of the Holy Ghost, or the kingdom of God, which is in you. Praise the Lord. Now listen, when Mary came to the tomb looking for Jesus, and suddenly the Lord appeared there and revealed himself to Mary, the first thing she wanted to do was throw her arms around him and embrace him. But Jesus said something. He said, wait a minute, woman. Don't touch me. That's a strange thing for Jesus to say. Don't touch me. And he clarified it. Well, he said, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God. Oh, but then, just a little bit later, you discovered that Jesus came back again. He went away and it came back. And then it was, he said, come on, Thomas, put your hand in my side. I want you to feel me. And when he did that, he ascended into the holy place, and it came out making way for you and I to enter into the Holy of Holies. Do you know what you're seeing here? You're seeing another transition. God said, now I'm going to turn away from the Levites and I'm going to turn to a church that will be a glorious church, that will be a holy church, that will be a set apart church, that will be peculiar unto me.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what this writer is saying? This writer is telling you, brother, that this is that exalted church. This is a glorious church. It is a church without spot. It is a church without wrinkle. It is a church without blemish. It is written in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are part of that church tonight? Brother, let me tell you something. I don't care what they say, it didn't start in 1917. Hallelujah to God. It didn't start in 1914. It didn't start in 1829. But the church that I'm talking about, that grand, that glorious, that exalted church, it began way back in eternity when God laid the foundation of the world. He started it in his mind then. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're the part of something that is the greatest spectacle that God has ever given to the world. If we believe that tonight, that we are a part of the greatest spectacle that God ever gave to the world, there ought to be something exciting over his soul. Oh, to think that I'm a part of it.
Somebody wrote the song, I'm a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. His royal blood now flows through us. Praise the Lord. Brother, there was a time when I was born to flesh, that I came to the pool. Thank God it's there. Jesus Christ gave me a blood transfusion. He took this old filthy blood out of my veins. He put something else inside of me. He made me a royal priesthood. He made me a chosen generation. He made me a peculiar person. He set me out. He set me apart. He called me out of the world. And he said, don't be like the world because you've got something to minister unto the world. Don't be like the world because you've got something to give the world. Don't be like the world because you have something you've got to show the world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that the writer went on later on in the same Hebrews and said that we have an altar where they that serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. They have no right to eat. They have no right. Don't they have a right? Because they have never been set apart by the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Have you been set apart by the blood of the Lamb? Come on. Have you been set apart by the blood of the Lamb? Wave your hand. Come on. Wave your hand.
Do you really mean what you're saying you're different from the world. Because you have been set apart for me.